Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Also, how does it impact Cody Bellinger? Cody Bellinger, I was thinking about this last night because Tommy made a great point about Cody with the Mets. You guys as Yankee fans really want him back. And I started to give Cody Bellinger just a lot of thought in general about both teams and where he fits. And the thing I'm intrigued by with the Mets, and you brought this up yesterday, Tommy, and I love it. It's my favorite part of your idea, is Bellinger in conjunction with Alonso, not to replace Alonso. Because I don't think he's as good, honestly. Like, he's just, no offense, he's just not as good. But Cody Bellinger on the Mets, with Pete Alonso being re-signed, could fill four different holes. Hear me out on this. Four different holes. Number one, he plays center field till Carson Bench is ready. That could be a week. Mm-hmm. That could be a month. That may be all year. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, he plays left field and forces Brandon Immo to DH a lot more than he did last year. That's position number two. Position number three, Cody Bellinger plays a lot of right field and forces Juan Soto to DH a lot more than he did mm-hmm. last year. And then, of course, fourth position is first base to force Pete Alonso to DH a lot more last year. Cody Bellinger could actually make the Mets better at three different positions while improving their lineup all at the same time. Sometimes he plays left. Sometimes he plays center. Sometimes he plays right. Sometimes he plays first. And he grades better than all of the guys that he's forcing to DH. So you're not telling Pete Alonso, much to the chagrin of our buddy Sal Licata, you're the full-time DH. You're just going to do it more. You're not telling Juan Soto you're the full-time DH. He's just doing it more. You're not telling Brandon Nimmo he's a full-time DH. He's just doing it more. So, I don't know. Was that your vision with Cody Bellinger to do that? Because that part of it, I think, could really enhance the Mets.
Not to that extent, but I think you took my idea and made it even more brilliant, and that's why I think we agree on this.
We work as a team.
Cody Bellinger is more valuable. I'm not trying to make it a Met-Yankee thing, but he's more valuable to the Mets as a signing here because he could fill all the holes that you just brought up.
In conjunction with Alonso. Now, let's get to the Yankees on where he fits. So that's how I envision him with the Mets, where he makes them better defensively at four different positions, which is kind of crazy. Like, how often can you do that? So I look at the Yankees and I say, all right, where does he fit? Aaron Judge is the right fielder.
Sure.
Well, should he DH every once in a while? Sure. But it wouldn't be because of defense. It would be because you want to keep him fresh.
Can I stop you, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you're signing Bellinger, we're assuming 7 years.
Are you kidding me?
Longer? Nine?
I'm not giving him 7 years. I'm out.
Shorter. Okay. Nine. I think he's going to get seven.
You think he's going to get seven?
I do.
I mean, you may be right. I'm just
looking at his age in this market. He's going to be the free.
Look at his up and down nature of his offense.
But you just mentioned
the versatility.
I think the versatility is what's going to push you over the edge.
I want you to continue making your point. So forget it. Okay, 7 years. Whatever. Okay.
I only say that to say don't think about what he could do position-wise just for this year. Aaron Judge could be a first baseman in 2-3 years, something like that, where he could eventually be the right fielder, too. That's the only reason I'm just saying it. It's not just about this year.
Oh, 100%. And let's get to that, though.
Okay,
so Cody Bellinger, is he the New York Yankee center fielder upon being re-signed? Well, you have Spencer Jones.
Right.
Dominguez should be the left fielder. Or is Cody Bellinger your first baseman? You know, we've talked about Ben Rice, but it doesn't have to be Ben Rice.
Ben Rice could catch a lot.
He could catch. He could be traded.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go. My question is, to kind of answer, well, where does he fit better? I think he fits fine in both places. I don't think it has to be an either or. But that's my vision for Bellinger with the Mets. How would you envision him if you kept him with the Yankees?
My envisionment is they're going to end up trading either Dominguez or Spencer Jones, and he's either the left fielder or the center.
So he's an everyday either center or left fielder.
And if a deal doesn't work out, I love the flexibility of knowing he's good enough where he can move back and forth between first and the outfield, depending on the day, if Rice uses flexibility.
Gotcha.
I don't think he has to be somewhere for 120 games.
Yeah. Yesterday, when we were giving our suggestions on what to do, the reason I wasn't bringing him back wasn't because I didn't like him or think he could fit. It was I was allocating the funds in a different way, which is to improve my infield.
Right.
So if they're not going to do that and they're one an outfielder, whether it's Kyle Tucker or Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger's a fine fit with the Yankees. It's not like he doesn't fit there. He fits in both places, honestly. I don't think it has to be an either or, Tommy. I know you like to make it Mets versus Yankees, but I think he fits in both places.
Well, he's a fine fit with the Yankees. He's a great fit for the Mets.
He's a great fit if they keep Pete, and he does that plan we 100%.
Talked about. And also because you want a DH Soto more, and you want a DH Nimmo more. And Sean, with bringing back Bellinger, that also is that you're trading away Dominguez or Jones. If they don't do that, I don't think Bellinger is as great of a fit because you obviously have now a crowded outfield.
But not necessarily.
Because he could play first base.
I'm open to Ben Rice becoming this team's everyday catcher and thinking about Austin Wells in a different
way. But my point is you have to different position or different team. Because you'd have to
Wells?
Get rid of Wells
then.
Is he going to play first base?
But I think that's the beauty of all of this. You could trade Dominguez, Jones, or Rice, or Wells. Like any one of those guys can be a package.
If there's a lesson from the Blue Jays, and even the Dodgers to a degree, it's nice to have position versatility.
Absolutely.
And the Ben Rice factor is something that very few teams have. A guy that can hit at that level and also catch and play first base, like that's abnormal. But having a guy like Bellinger, who, even though he hasn't played a lot of first base the last 5 years, we know he can do it and then be really good in left field, center field, and right field. I think the truth is with Cody Bellinger, he's one of those players that can fit everywhere. The question is, like, offensively, can he remain consistent? Because he has had a very up and down career, which is why I don't love him as an Alonso replacement. Because I don't think he's as good as Pete Alonso. I think you're losing a lot offensively by replacing Pete with Cody Bellinger, which is why if the Mets sign Cody Bellinger, would I be excited? It's like, well, what's his role? I mean, is he the offensive replacement for Pete? I would not be happy if he's back in conjunction with Pete or in conjunction with Alex Bregman or in conjunction with Josh Naylor. It would be like, okay, I like that.
Yeah.
So that's the way I view him.
Versatility.
Versatility, I say. Let's go to, let's get back to football. Let's get back to football with Connor and Goshen. What's up, Connor?
Right.
Hey, Connor. Connor going once. Connor going twice. Connor is gone. By the way, I want to apologize to a certain New York athlete.
Okay.
A few minutes ago, we were talking about how we're all a bunch of losers and no one's won a championship, and we started naming names. We even named a pathetic name like Michael Porter Jr. I would like to personally apologize, as with Tommy, to Juan Soto.
Absolutely. Oh. How could we forget Juan? Just celebrated a birthday. We love you, Juan. We're thinking about you. Eat all the food you want in the offseason. Just show up and shape it for spring training.
We're naming all the champions. We mentioned...
Amazing.
We mentioned freaking... Michael Porter Jr.
Well,
forgot about
by the way,
Soto.
Not that it's Soto, but the guy we were just talking about, Cody Bellinger, won in the 2020 World
that
Series.
That is true.
So we forgot about Cody, too. You giving an eh? Now, come on. That's a real championship. That's a real championship.
I don't know.
A winner here in Cody Bellinger.
Derek Jeter called it a half a championship.
It's one of the times I agreed with Derek Jeter. And he's like, it's half a ring. By the way, when Derek Jeter made that comment, when Derek Jeter said to Mookie Betts, how many rings you got? And Mookie gave his answer, and Derek put a half because he wanted to put down the 2020 title. He means it, bro. Don't give me this friendly banter crap. That's what he'll hide behind.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter absolutely meant it. That man is obsessed with championships, and when Mookie Betts' career is over and they are comparing the titles, you can bet your ass at a cocktail party. Derek Jeter is going to tell people that 2021 is a half a title. So... I don't want to hear, oh, I was just joking. They're friends, they're buddies. Oh, no, they're friends and buddies. And I think to him he was joking, but Derek Jeter means it.
Oh, yes.
He's a killer. Let's go to Scott in Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
How you doing?
Good. I'll tell you, unfortunately, I think your phone sucks. My apologies. We have to move on. But try to call back, and we'll pop you back up. I always feel bad for that. Let's go to Lorenzo in Keyport. Hey, Lorenzo.
If you'd give me a moment last time you hung up on me, I won't bring up the Brooklyn Nets. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'll play the rookies for the love of God. But anyway,
please.
The man from Milwaukee has really stated clearly this is about defense. I don't believe that Pete Alonso is the butcher at first that people like to say he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's adequate. He's okay. That said, my thought is this. If they're not going to sign him, which I don't think they are, because that's what the GM has basically stated, I don't care about the bullpen. Get those guys at the trade deadline, but get Edwin back so that when we do have weight lead, we close it out. As far as the infield, put Arise at first. He could play second when he wants to. Get me Bo Bichette. And this is an oldie but goodie, and he's old, but he'll hit 18 home runs. Bring back Wilmer. Let him play first and third as utility guy off the bench. And from there, I don't know the pitchers. They're obvious, but that's where the money should go.
All right. Pitching. There you go.
I'm done with it. The bullpens are too inconsistent.
Yeah, bullpens are. I mean, the way I would view the bullpen is I would take a flyer on an arm or two. Right now, the Mets, assuming they could keep Edwin Diaz, already have A.J. Minter. They got Brooks Raley. Maybe you throw a flyer at a Luke Weaver who could bounce back off of last year. The defense, because David Stern spent so much time talking about run prevention, run prevention, run prevention. I was thinking about this. Where do the Mets need to improve their defense? Let's just be blunt. Right field defense wasn't good enough. Now, no one's benching Juan Soto. Sure. No one's DHing Juan Soto. But that's why having somebody like a Cody Bellinger who can play right field, let's say 30 or 40 games, at least in those 30 or 40 games, improves the defense. The other place where they will naturally be better is third base. When Mark Vientos played third base, he was a butcher. When Brett Beatty played third base, he played like a Gold Glover. Well, I am under the assumption, barring major trades, Brett Beatty's going to be the third baseman every single day. Right then and there, you've improved your defense at third base. What you do at second base is also a major question. Are you bringing someone in, a Bo Bichette, as our last caller just mentioned? Are you giving Ronnie Mauricio or Luis Angel Acuña that opportunity? But the defensive improvement is more than just first base. And to pin it on first base is not fair. Because I thought most of the year, Pete was adequate defensively. He just has moments that jump out at you. So, like, Sal has this great argument, even though I disagree with him, but it's such a great argument, and I respect good arguments, where he'll say, because I heard him say it earlier today, and it's, again, good argument. He'll say, hey, what's the turning point of the Mets season? And naturally, people are going to say, when Kodai Senga got hurt. Well, who made the bad throw?
Alonso.
He's right. Pete made a terrible throw. And yes, it created the motions of the season turning. But I would argue there were thousands of other plays, and Pete was average. I'm not going to argue he's Mark Grace over there. He's average. It got bad at the very end, and yes, I'd like to put him in that flux that Juan Soto's in, where you don't play every day at first base. You don't play every day at right field. Maybe there's 30 games now where you DH. That makes sense. Yeah. And that, if you get 30 games of less Juan Soto in right field, and 30 games of less Pete Alonso at first base, have you just improved your defense?
Okay, but those become 60 games of not Vientos DHing then and playing third.
Well, I didn't say a damn thing about Mark Vientos.
That was peculiar that you didn't, because you mentioned Beatty playing every day at
Mark
third.
Vientos may not be on this team.
So you think he's going to be traded?
It's not relevant to the conversation. He's not guaranteed an everyday job.
Okay.
Like, if he hits
enough. Interpreted that as he becomes the full-time DH, in which case he's not when those guys are playing.
I don't think the best way to improve them at defense is to not have a full-time DH.
Okay.
The best way to improve their defense is to have guys who defend better, which allow your lesser defenders, who are also really good hitters, hello Pete Alonso and Juan Soto, to DH more. Look, if we're going to make a big deal about defense, and I'm talking to David Stearns and everybody else, then mention Juan Soto's name. That's all I'm going to say. And again, that doesn't mean he sucks. It doesn't mean bench him. It means be fair. If you're going to talk about Pete Alonso like he's a klutz at first base, we're just going to ignore Juan Soto in right field? We're like going to make believe he's Roberto Clemente out there? Because that's not true. I'm serious.
I know it's not.
So again, if you improve yourself where there are guys that can take 30 games, because you did good math to get to 60,
Thank
30
you.
Games of no Pete at first base, but he DHs. 30 games of no Juan Soto in right field, but he DHs. You've improved your defense, and you keep your offensive stalwarts in the lineup.
Hashtag run prevention.
Hashtag run prevention. More of your calls next, plus Alex Rodriguez responds to Brian Cashman's criticisms of Alex Rodriguez's criticisms of Brian Cashman.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This is the one thing I said all before while the Mets were collapsing. This cannot be a distraction from the actual offseason of what they need to do, which is basically blow the whole thing up and get actual players in here. But Pete Alonso is going to handcuff everything. Get this done. Set us all free from it. Just get it done one way or the other. Either move on or sign to a contract.
And people in the know, BT, seem to think that the way that, you know, the way that Boris operates and their demands that this is, again, going to drag out, which is why I'm saying if you're the Mets, you just, you can't be held hostage by Alonso. As much as you want his bat back in that lineup, you got to move on and do other things.
It's only going to drag out if the Mets let him do it. That's the thing. You know, Boris has his playbook, and usually, you know, he's got the leverage because he's got the big-time clients, but you know, I mean, the Mets have a little leverage in the sense that you would think that Pete would like to stay here, and they've got to exercise that power and say, hey, listen, Scotty, we know what you try to do and get those extra years, but if we don't know by this date, we're moving on, buddy, so you better let them know what's going on.
The other thing that I've heard, again, from people in the know is that Boris won't, whoever his other clients are, he won't move on them before Alonso, meaning with the Mets, I'll say as it pertains to the Mets,
yeah,
he won't do anything that would prevent the best business for Pete, let's say, his other client. Meaning that, who's Bellinger? Do we know about Bellinger? Is he a Boris guy?
I think he is a Boris guy.
Me too, which is why I'm saying, I just want to confirm that. Let's say he is. And again, I'm just throwing out hypothetical because I forget. I talked to so many different people about this so many different times over the years, but I know that yeah, Bellinger is. So let's say the Mets say we want Bellinger. Boris would be like, yeah, hold on now. You got to figure out what's going on with Pete first. Meaning, because he knows that if the Mets were to sign Bellinger,
yeah,
he loses leverage with Pete.
But why didn't he do that with Soto and Pete last year?
Well, he did. He waited for Soto wasn't signed until December.
December 11th, yeah, I think Juan signed, right?
And also, he was a different animal. I think he got to a point where, you know, they reached their whatever it was, and then the rest of the offseason fell into place. In this, and also, Soto had nothing to do with Pete. In this particular case, let's say Bellinger.
Oh, same position kind of deal. Well,
if the Mets sign Bellinger, likely they're going to be less likely to sign Pete. It might be in addition to, it might not. And yeah. I don't know if Boris is going to be willing to have the Mets use up one of their spots on, even though it's one of his clients, that might hurt Pete Alonso's leverage. If you take the Mets out of play for Pete, whatever his market is going to be significantly dented.
I agree with that. But the Mets have to be smart, and they will be, that they're not just, you know, used in the process here. I mean, if we're saying this on the radio, that's business 101. The Mets clearly know that, and they can't let that happen. So they've got to kind of rewrite the rules a little bit here. It's on the Mets' parameters. It can't be on Pete's timeline this year. It's just, you know, it's business. It is what it is. So let me ask you that. Put Pete aside for a sec, okay? Yeah. There's a thought, and I don't even really necessarily know where I stand yet. I want you to get first crack at this. So, thought is, we both think, and or know, the Mets need to do a lot this offseason.
Right.
We also think that there's probably a temptation for Cohen to flex because he's a little bit pissed off from last year, but the possibly being offset by what's a bit of a conservative approach by the general manager. Do you think that the Mets just go bonkers this offseason with everything?
I think the Mets are going to be aggressive, very aggressive, but also smart. And that's kind of where I'm at. I think that there's this notion that you need to bring back Diaz and bring back Alonso. And a part of me understands that. And then on top of that, go get Skubal and go get Suarez. I understand that. I don't know if it's smart business. I know it's not smart business, and I wouldn't do it. I don't care how many home runs he has as a Met. I'm not bringing Pete back without the idea that he's going to be a primary DH. I also don't know if it's smart business to just commit to a closer that's already given you his best years for another 5 years, $100 million.
I'm not feeling the re-signing of Diaz at all. That is not very important to me. I'm sorry.
I think they're going to do it. I think he wants to be here, and I think they want him. I just don't think it's good business. We went over this years ago with Hader. I wanted the Yankees to go get Hader. They didn't do it. He hasn't been the same. He's been good, but he hasn't been the same certainly as he was with Milwaukee. And Stearns didn't want to commit big money, which is why he ended up trading all those guys. I can't commit big money to a closer. But if Steve Cohen says, well, it doesn't really matter, we want him here, and focus on more the next 2 years as opposed to the final 3 years of that deal, then maybe you have a little more wiggle room to work with if you're Stearns. But to answer your question, I think they're going to be as aggressive as any other team in baseball. Maybe outside of the Dodgers, but they should be on par with that. But also just doing it in a smart way. I don't think it's just, let's sign this guy and let's sign that guy and let's sign this guy. You got to figure out, this group wasn't good enough. Even with the monster years that they got from Soto, Alonso, Lindor, and Nimmo, it wasn't anywhere near good enough. Defensively, all that. And I don't believe it's just a matter of fixing the rotation to make them better. I think it's deeper than that.
It is.
So that's what I want to see. I want to see the aggressiveness in the rotation, which is easy to repair. Trade, free agent, throw some money, go get a couple of arms, put them in that rotation. They're already better there. Bullpen I wouldn't worry about because those things you could fix in season. How are they going to fix the core, the infrastructure of this group when they've already committed a lot of money? The easy thing is to let Alonso walk, but now you're losing counted on production behind Soto, which is why I say I wouldn't let him walk. I'd want him to be the DH.
Here's the other thing that I think is a little tricky for the Mets, and there's no guarantee that they navigate this the right way. I think it's very hard to do this. They've got a very highly rated farm system. We all know that, right? Which means they'll be
finally
in play. Yeah, for sure. Which means they'll be in play for Skubal and all the other stuff that we've already talked about here. But going bonkers, that's why I asked you the question, like, you know, the Bellingers and maybe a Schwarber or you know, Pete bringing back Diaz, all the things we've Tucker or whatever, if you want to throw that on the table. So it's hard, or it's a challenge to commit multi-year, several multi-year deals to players when you have players who are ready to play at the minor league level.
Right.
Like, you generally do that when your minor league system is not very good and you just buy some players if you got the resources. But the Mets are in the decision/evaluation mode right now of determining, all right, is Jet Williams going to be a player for us moving forward?
Right.
What about the center fielder?
Bench,
what about the first baseman?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So I don't know how they view these prospects. They probably like them, but do they love them? And if they love them, then why would you give either Pete or Bellinger or Tucker or whomever 5-6-7 year deals when they're just going to block the path, or Bregman, when they're going to block the path to somebody that might be ready to play?
And go ahead, Off. You have a question?
I do, because here's the deal, right? They have about $250-something million committed to the books as it is right now, okay? How much to catch up to the Dodgers in any capacity, financially or just talent-wise, you're going to have a lot of turnover. You're going to have to add a lot of pieces to it. Are we talking about, is this going to be close to a $400 million payroll? Or are we going to say there's a cap at 350? Because then you're talking about another weak team that's not going to go anywhere. Because you're replacing, you're trying to replace Alonso and Diaz who aren't already there. So who are you replacing them with, right, with all those numbers? And now you're going to, just to replace those two guys, but we already have a ton
other
of other
holes.
Yeah,
right.
Everywhere. Well, that's legitimately a pitching rotation.
But that's the problem. But the rotation, I think, is an easier fix than it may seem. Now, even if you forget Skubal, and I wouldn't, he'd be the primary thing, but let's just say the Tigers don't
Mets are going to get Skubal. They're going to get him.
But the Tigers have to make him available.
They're going
to
get him.
I tend to feel the same way, but I'm not 100% sure. I think the Tigers are going to end up trading him, and when they do, the Mets will land him. Let's just say that the Tigers don't make Skubal available.
Mm-hmm.
You still can repair the rotation.
For sure.
Rather simply, just go sign two of the top free agents. It's not that hard. Now, or trade for somebody else and sign one of the top free agents. Repairing the rotation is, to me, the easy fix here for the Mets. It's the rest of it, how you're cleaning that up. Where's the balance with which young guys are you going to believe in and rely on?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, to win a World Series, you need to, those guys have to hit. Like, you have to make sure you make the right decision and say, well, Benj is a player, or Jet Williams has come up and contributed. You're going to need some kind of combination, a balance. Also, how are you going to, are you going to roll with Brandon Nimmo in left field every day
I
again?
Think that they are. I wouldn't, but I think that they are.
I'd rather him, if you let Pete walk, I think it's an easier fix where you have Nimmo DH a little bit. You could get a better defensive left fielder.
Or Vientos could be the righty DH, and obviously Nimmo lefty.
I want Vientos out. BT, how are you getting better?
They got a lot to do.
How are you getting better in the forget the rotation.
Yep.
In the lineup. Soto's not going anywhere. You have no idea who the center fielder is, and even the options for center field outside of Bellinger aren't slam dunks. Could Benj be it? Maybe. Could they go trade for Luis Robert? Okay, maybe. There are no slam dunks in center field, at least not that I'm seeing, outside of Cody Bellinger, and I don't think it's likely. Nimmo in left, no center fielder, Soto in right, Lindor's not going anywhere at short, the Vientos, Beatty, Mauricio at third, the same thing at second, Acuna, McNeil, Jet Williams even.
It's not good enough. Can't do it.
Alvarez a catcher. So it's not good enough. So how are they changing all of that? And even if I say, well, Lindor's not going anywhere, Soto's not going anywhere, now, how are you going to reconfigure the rest of that? There's a lot of questions.
They got a lot of work to do, man. But here's the one other, I know you're focusing on the hitting, which I don't necessarily disagree with, at least for this part of the conversation. But and this is a smaller thing, but this matters. So how many starts, Hop? I don't know if you know off the top of your head. McClain had what, 11 starts? I think that's the number in my head.
Wow.
I think it was 11.
Right up there with Shohei Ohtani, if he could only hit.
Yeah. I think it was 11. Either way, I don't think it was much more than that. You're going, if he's healthy, you're getting 20 more starts from McClain this year.
Right.
So now, if McClain started last year in the rotation, how many?
8 starts.
That's it?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so even more. But let's just say 20, right? Because usually top of the rotation guy gets 32, 33 starts. But do a whole number 20. Imagine if McClain had 20 more starts for the Mets last year. They're a playoff team.
Right.
They're a playoff team. Now, listen, when you do that, that's also a little foolhardy because, God forbid, if he gets hurt. I mean, I know it's never quite that literal. We'll just insert this and project that out, and that'll work out, and he'll carry the mail here, and this guy will incrementally, you know, progress through, Sprode or Tong. I know it's never that easy, but I think all of us think that McClain, like, I look at McClain in a lot of ways, and Schlittler, too, but I'm talking about the Mets. I look at McClain in a lot of the ways, I look at like Jackson Dart, like a no doubter. Like right. I think
it wasn't good enough even when he came up.
No, I know, but that's why I'm saying it would have been. I think it would have been good enough if McClain had 20 more starts, which he will have this year as a full time top of the rotation from opening day pitcher. Then the Mets don't win 83 games last year. I think the Mets probably win 85, 86, 87, and they're a playoff team.
I don't think it's as difficult to repair the rotation as everybody's making it seem. It's an easier fix. That's why I'm saying the challenging part, the hard part, is reconfiguring that lineup and their defensive alignment.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Before we get your calls on the Jets potentially using their newly acquired draft pick capital to acquire a veteran quarterback, I've read some baseball news that deeply concerns me. And maybe Tiki, as the rational one, can say it's no big deal, Evan, calm down. Maybe even Tommy could say no biggie. Jeremy Hefner and Anton Richardson, two coaches. Jeremy was fired, removed as Met pitching coach. Anton Richardson left on his own. He was the brains behind Juan Soto stealing a million bases.
Yeah.
They have both decided to join the newly created Walt Weiss coaching staff with the Atlanta Braves. Oh. And that bothers me.
Okay, that should bother you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to say, it's no big deal. It's all good. That's easy. Yeah, whatever. They're not good anyways. That's why they're not here. That should bother you.
That pisses me off.
It should piss you off.
And like in Hefner's case, they fired him. I think most people understood that was going to happen after the performance of the Met pitching, even though a lot of that is on the pitchers that were acquired by the team president, David Stearns. Mm-hmm. But Anton Richardson is a guy we all wanted back because he was the brains behind the Mets being incredibly good at stealing bases. And my understanding is that Anton Richardson no longer wanted to return. That the reason he left, because he was offered a chance to stay, was that he saw all the coaches around him getting fired, and he was like, I don't want to be here.
Right. The writing's on the wall. At some point, that's going to be me.
Yes, because you're going to remain on a coaching staff that's completely new, and the manager's going to be on the hot seat. So I admit that my irrationality is I'm not sure what the Mets could have done different, because they wanted to move on from Hefner. I understand it. Anton Richardson is the one who made the decision to leave, but it sucks to see these guys in Atlanta. Can you give me a no biggie, Tommy? It'll make me feel better.
Actually, I don't. Hefner is a no biggie. Richardson's not a no biggie. And I disagree with you. Why?
Uh-oh.
Why?
Oh, whoa, wait, hold on. Positive Tommy died today.
What happened?
Well, it's the Braves. It has nothing to do with the Mets. It's the Braves bringing
it. He's right. It's where it is.
When Acuna's stealing, 400 bases on the Mets next year, it's hard to throw a no biggie out there. But you just said, first of all, I disagree that Mendy's on the hot seat, but couldn't Richardson survive even if Mendy got fired? Like, if you're good at your job and you're valuable to an organization and they give you a pay raise and a contract, isn't that enough security to stick with the Mets?
No, it makes a lot of sense. But again, I'm telling you, I've heard he didn't want to stay. So,
The reason he doesn't want to stay is because other coaches got fired, but they kept him because they want him back, the Mets, because they liked the job he did.
Oh, absolutely.
Shouldn't that be enough security to keep your job?
I mean, you got to talk to Anton about it, but I think that you look around and you do see a job that isn't safe. I mean, you have a manager that you could say he's not on the hot seat, but he is. They just got rid of all the coaches.
But if Richardson does a good job, wouldn't it be prudent on the Mets to want to keep him?
I think they did want to keep him.
No, so no, I'm saying even if they got rid of Mendy. I'm mad at the Braves because I think this is a jerk troll move by them. Let's be honest. Especially Hefner. I mean, Richardson, I could understand that, but they couldn't wait to bring in Jeremy Hefner after the Mets got rid of him.
I mean, Hefner did do a good job
he
at
did,
times.
But is in his most recent stretch here at the back end of the season, not so much.
I'm confused by you. Are you mad at the Mets?
Excuse me, I had to take a sip of Coke there like Mike. I'm mad at the Braves.
So you're not mad at the Mets?
I'm not mad at the Mets.
And you're not mad at Anton Richardson?
I'm a little mad at Ed Richardson, okay. Quite frankly, because I don't understand like why you didn't want to stay with us and then you wanted to skip to Atlanta. I don't know. I don't appreciate that.
Boy,
I think he wanted maybe a change of scenery is the wrong phrasing of it, but I think he wanted some security. It just feels like if things don't work out in New York real quickly for whoever is coaching, it's gonna go quick.
1,000%. And remember, the Braves are starting anew. Walt Weiss was just named manager. He was promoted. And so he's building a new coaching staff. So there just is more security going to Atlanta than staying with the Mets, where, again, they got rid of every single coach. And Carlos Mendoza is here, but he's not the safest. Walt Weiss he's the new manager. He's safer than Carlos Mendoza is.
I mean, Mendy's in year three. In the first year they're in the NLCS, we're looking to fire the manager.
They fired all their coaches.
I understand that because they needed to, because of the season they had.
Okay.
I think if they had made the playoffs, I think a lot of those coaches would have been safe.
I think it depends on where they went, but I'll make this simple for you because I don't know who you're arguing with. I don't know if you're mad at me, the Mets, Anton Richardson, or just simply the Braves. If the Mets are 50-55, Carlos Mendoza is going to be fired. He's not going to survive a season if the Mets are underachieving. And how do I know that? I'm not going to lie to you. No one is telling me this. I'm using my noodle because I see what they just did, and I see the handwriting's on the wall. It was like Willie Randolph in a lot of ways in 2008. So I think for Richardson, he knew this is not the safest place to be working right now. So I don't even know who I'm mad at. Because I agree with the Mets needing to clean house. Yeah. I'm just more frustrated with the situation that they both happen to end up in Atlanta.
Well, I also think that it's you can't believe if you are anybody with around the Mets that Carlos Mendoza is safe going into the next year. You just can't believe
it. Well, he does.
I know, but how it started to trickle out this year.
I know.
It started to become not a story, but just a... Keep an eye on this. This is a historic collapse. So if that happens again in any capacity, he's gone.
Yeah, if they get off to a bad start, I think he's gone.
Right.
Too.
And so if you're on his staff, that's not job security. That's not preparing you for the next 5 years of your professional career. Yeah, you almost have to do it for self-preservation.
Yeah, you would. I know you never coach, but as a former player, if you were coaching, and let's do it with a team you have no affiliation with, it's not the Giants where there's loyalty, but if you're a coach on the Broncos staff, and they just got rid of every other coach but you and the head coach, and now the Chiefs comes calling and say, we'd love to have you, there's a really good chance you're going to leave.
I know. Right. I think I'll go with the Chiefs.
Yeah. Let's get to your calls. More on the baseball later because we will unveil our offseason plans for both teams. Free agency does begin in Major League Baseball tomorrow at 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Rich is in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
All's good.
Good. What's on your mind?
All right. What's on my mind is this Joe Burrows thing that you put out. Now, I know that this is hypothetical, but allow me to give you my perspective on it.
Go.
You remember Jacob deGrom, right?
What a question. Yeah, I kind of remember him.
Who was that?
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that Joe Burrows is the NFL equivalent of Jacob deGrom. Always injured. Good player, but always injured.
Mm. Well, now, you're part right, though, okay? Because I think you're doing a disservice to Joe and to Jake by saying good player. Those guys are great players.
Okay. No problem. But here's one that may cost a little less, but you never know. And you already have a trade history with him that no one mentioned and I'm surprised about.
Go.
Dak.
No, I mentioned Dak. We mentioned Dak Prescott. That was the second name I brought up. I'm not as drawn in by him because to mirror something Tiki has said and many Cowboy fans have said, I don't think he's it. Like, I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a solid guy to have your team built around. But he's not the franchise-altering guy the way I think Joe Burrow is. And in the case of Joe Burrow and comparing him to Jacob deGrom, look, he's been in the NFL for 6 years. And I would admit that in three of those 6 years, he has missed a chunk of time, which includes this year. But when he's played, he's been one of the best. And he's led a Bengal team to a Super Bowl. He went to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs.
And that was coming off a season before where he was injured, correct?
Right. So I'm not going to argue that he is not becoming injury prone. What I would argue is it's worth it. Mm. When a guy is that great, because you say good player, he's not a good player. He's a great player. I'm willing to take that risk. And so, is he injury prone? Yeah, I think that's a part of why the Cincinnati Bengals could very well have that conversation.
Yeah, and I think different, just to go back to Dak. Dak is really good. Like, really, really good. MVP quality 2 seasons ago. Not the one last year, the one before. And you want to believe that he's going to take that next step and become one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. It just never happens. And he's getting older. He's 32 now, maybe 33.
Yep.
It just feels like there's always something preventing him from taking the next step. And maybe that's just his draft grit. I always talk about you can't escape your draft position. I mean, Tom Brady did, but there's not a lot of examples of it. It's almost like he keeps hitting a ceiling, even though he really wants to break through it. And the Cowboys really want him to break through it. And they give him all these assets and athletes around him, but he just can't break through it. So he's good, but again, it's a trust thing. Mm. With Joe Burrow, it's trust. I don't trust you to stay healthy. With Dak Prescott, it's I don't trust you to make the play in the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
Yeah.
The Yankees' final payroll was $304 million. They currently have an estimated $240 million committed to players in 2026, which leaves about $70 million to spend, assuming they end up with a similar payroll, which I think is a fair thing to speculate.
Yes.
I don't think we should add $200 million to the Yankee payroll. As much as Yankee fans may want that, as much as they may demand that, I don't think that's fair in this process to create a super payroll that probably isn't going to happen. So we all did our work. We all did our research. Would you like me to go first?
Yeah, of course.
Number one, they will make a qualifying offer to Trent Grisham. What does that mean? It means Trent Grisham has an opportunity to return on a 1-year, $20 million deal. Mm-hmm. If he accepts that, okay, there'll be some alterations to my plan. If he doesn't accept that, fantastic. The Yankees will acquire a draft pick that they can use to help them in the future.
Do you think he'll accept it?
I think there's a chance, because even though he had a great year, what's he getting on the market, especially being attached with a pick?
But he's also young. Not old. He's not young, but he's not old.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the Yankees, if they do that, they hamstring him.
They do. And so I think it's possible Trent says, you know what, I'm probably not going to have another great year, but I also know I eliminate the qualifying offer. Once it's offered to me once, I can't have it again. I'll go back. I'll have a big year. And the reason I don't think it's a big deal for me as the Yankees is I've made the decision that I'm moving on from Cody Bellinger and Kyle Tucker, which is probably the headline. Like, what? Yeah, I'm going to allocate my money elsewhere. And so I'm going to need a center fielder. I do want to bring in an outfielder that's not going to cost me a lot of money or a lot of years. So if Trent Grisham accepts it, okay, he'll be my center fielder. Mm-hmm. Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, Aaron Judge, even Jose Caballero off the bench, I'm good to go. If he doesn't accept it, I will replace him by signing Harrison Bader to a 2-year, $22 million contract. He's my center fielder. He gives me defense, right-handed bat. And again, Spencer Jones, left-hand hitter. Dominguez better from the left than the right. Mm-hmm. There's a value to Harrison Bader. So right off the top, that's how I'm handling center field. Just want to let you know. Aaron Judge is my right fielder. Dominguez will get every opportunity in the world to be the left fielder. And Spencer Jones is on the come. Mm-hmm. He could end up as the left fielder. He could end up as the center fielder because Grisham and Bader are guys I'm not married to. Now you may be saying, all right, wow, you let Kyle Tucker go. What are you doing with the money? Now, what I'm about to tell you may not make a lot of sense, but hear me out. I'm signing Alex Bregman.
Now, you stole my signing.
Really?
Absolutely.
See, I thought that was creative because
it's not creative because I'm not hunkered down by the Houston Astros stuff.
Oh, no, I don't care about that.
Yes, but I think a lot of Yankee fans might be.
Well, I think Yankee fans initially will say, where is he playing? Because he's a third baseman. No, not under my plan.
Where is he playing?
I'm going to have a conversation with Alex Bregman. First of all, I got him on a five-year deal, $165 million, so I'm paying him a little bit.
You're overpaying him.
Am I?
He might want you to be his agent.
I think that's what he's going to get. Am I crazy?
I mean, he's probably about 28 to 30-something a year.
No, he just opted out of a deal in which he was making how much money? He was making a ton of money that he opted out of.
I don't remember.
It was the high 30s.
I got to go look.
So I figure for years I'll get him for a little bit less money,
right?
But I got to give him the years. Here's what I'm going to say to Alex Bregman. You're my shortstop this year. And then I will proceed to say, are you comfortable going back and forth? To which he will say, of course I am. I'm a team player. He was willing to do anything for the Boston Red Sox. Here's why this is important, Yankee fans. You need to take away the Volpe drug. He's a drug, and you need him to take him away. If Alex Bregman is here playing shortstop, in which I think he'll do a fine job for a year or two doing that, Anthony Volpe is exactly what I envision him to be, a super utility player.
Yeah.
How does he play? Well, sometimes Ryan McMahon doesn't play against the lefty. Bregman goes back to third. Volpe's my shortstop. Yeah. Volpe could even play some second base.
Yeah, the only thing I worry about is that you start getting these guys playing out of position like you did last year. Not that they can't do it. It's just that they're not as comfortable as they would be elsewhere.
Okay, so that is a fair concern. First of all, the only guy playing out of position would be Bregman, but I think he can do a solid job playing shortstop. And if Anthony Volpe earns this job back by performance, no matter how much money I'm paying Ryan McMahon could be the odd man out. Ends up back at third, Volpe's at shortstop.
He's also likely to be unavailable at the beginning of the season, Volpe. So
exactly.
So you're going to need a shortstop anyway.
He is my shortstop.
I addressed it differently.
And honestly, I also view this long-term. Ryan McMahon's here for two more years. George Lombard Jr. is probably a year or two away. Eventually, Bregman's the third baseman. I just signed him to a five-year deal. He's going to be my third baseman, but in the shortest of terms, he's my shortstop. And I think he'll do a solid job playing that position. I thought about Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette's not even a good shortstop. So, I'm more intrigued by Bregman because eventually he's going to play his natural position. He puts the bat on ball to the same level as Cody Bellinger, if not better, and he draws more walks. I think he's a better player than Cody Bellinger, and I think he would fit a need more than Cody Bellinger because I have outfielders. I have outfield prospects that could develop. So Bregman is my big move with an eye on eventually being my third baseman but being my shortstop. But I'm not done yet. I got two more moves because I still have some money to spend.
Go ahead.
I'm signing Michael King to a one-year contract, and I'm going to overpay him to get him here. I'm going to give Michael King about $26 million for 1 year.
How old is he right now?
I think he's 30, right on the dot.
Yeah.
Now, he is projected to be getting a three-year contract. No. I'm going to whisper to Michael King and say, Mikey, you come have a big year for me, you're going to get a five-year contract. You're good. And here's the beauty of Michael King. Number one, solidifies my rotation that's going to have injuries early. But that's not the best part, Tiki. Late in the year, if I'm healthy and I got Cole dealing and I got Rodon dealing and I got Schlittler dealing, guess where Michael King goes? To my bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
How loaded is that? Because I don't love the bullpen guys that are out there. I'll sign guys to short-term deals for a few million dollars, but there's no way. Kenley Jansen? Raisel Iglesias? I'm not doing that. They're also not going to blow away the Mets and get Edwin Diaz. So
right.
I like King to solidify my rotation and also be transitioned to the bullpen. I'd signed Elias Diaz to be my backup catcher because I'm sick and tired of having lefties all over the place. Goodbye, J.C. Ascara. And then the trade I would flirt with, if it's available, is Jason Dominguez for Kwan. Because then I get the proven left fielder. I'm giving the Guardians more years of control. But if I don't do that, I'm fine because I got Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez as my left fielders. So my additions are Grisham gets the qualifying offer. If he accepts it, great. If he doesn't, Harrison Bader on a two-year deal. Alex Bregman to play shortstop in the time being. Michael King, Elias Diaz, Harrison Bader, and potentially Dominguez for Kwan. How great is my plan?
No, it's a pretty good plan.
Thank you.
I mean, I can't argue with it. You stole one of mine, but that's okay.
Stole one of yours.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So, we'll start with the third base. I was trying to find Alex Bregman. I had to go on FanGraphs. When was the last time he played shortstop, dude?
A couple years ago, he's filled in there.
You got to go way back. I went back a couple of years to 2023. I don't see any shortstops. He's all third base.
He can play shortstop, I'm telling you.
He can play shortstop, but I don't want the Jazz thing to happen again that we saw last year. So Alex Bregman, I'm signing him. I'm not nearly paying him as much as you did because he's 31, almost 32 years old.
So, he is going to be 32 years old on opening day or right around
so
opening day.
So do we want a 35-year-old with a two more years left on his deal? Alex Bregman, no. So I'm going to pay him 4 years, 140 or so million. That's it's about what you were talking about in that 30-plus million-dollar range. And he's going to play second base. I did it different than you. I did it from here's my starting pitchers, here's my relief pitchers. And I had issues with the relief pitching as well. I didn't even fill it out because I'm going to assume that Tim Hill and some of these other guys that are coming back are going to fill the void. There's too much nuance to go try to find a relief pitcher at this stage. So Cole, Fried, Schlittler, Rodon, Luis Gil, Bednar, Williams, that's what's guaranteed. Catcher, Austin Wells. First base, this was my big signing of the offseason. For first base, instead of re-signing Cody Bellinger and using him all over the place, I'm like you, not keeping him. They go get Seattle's Josh Naylor.
Oh, my God. That would piss Yankee fans off. They don't like him.
That doesn't matter. I want the best player.
He's a good ball player.
I want the best player.
He's a good ball player.
And there's too many, like, this is a Yankee on this team.
What are you going to do with Ben Rice, though?
Ben Rice is going to be my utility player.
So basically the way he was handled this year, DH, catcher a little bit.
100%.
Okay.
And so give him a four-year deal, average around $15 million a year. He's not going to cost you a ton of money, Josh Naylor. Maybe closer to 20, but whatever it is. And Jazz is at second. At shortstop, this is a cheap deal, but it's a worthwhile deal. Because I still think that the Yankees want to believe in Anthony Volpe. So I'm re-signing IKF.
Oh, God.
Give me IK. Look, he played on a championship
just
team.
Just cost them a World Series.
It doesn't matter. So he's not going to go back to Toronto because they hate him. Come back to New York. He's a really good player, and he can play shortstop, and Volpe's dead.
You know why you are an evil genius? Yankee fans will hate IKF so much, they'll pine for Anthony Volpe.
Maybe.
That's actually brilliant.
Maybe, but he'll be viable.
Yeah.
He's not a liability. And it's cheap.
Right.
It's gonna cost you $30 million over 3 years or whatever the heck it is. So I'm not really spending the money. Bregman at third base, as we talked about. I have Dominguez in left field, Spencer Jones playing center field, Judge, and then Stanton at the DH. So my offseason expenditures are less than $35 million.
What are you doing with Ryan McMahon, though? See, with me, with Bregman, he's going to play some third base when McMahon sits against the lefty, but right. They are paying him $16 million a year. So under your plan, are you just dumping him?
Maybe trade him.
Wow, okay.
Maybe trade him for a relief pitcher.
All right.
That's what I haven't figured out.
Fair enough. I thought my Bregman thing was going to be original.
Well, he's the best third baseman available.
Right, he now also fits the grindish nature of what the Yankees need.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Because he is that player who is going to hit for, what, 270 every year, 280. He's going to hit 20 home runs.
He's clutch.
He's not scared of the moment.
The thing about playing him at shortstop, because I do want to explain it, because he hasn't done it in a while, you are right, is that I believe that the Yankees need to bring someone in that would make it very difficult for Aaron Boone to go back to the drug of playing Anthony Volpe. Like, IKF doesn't do that. Yeah. Jose Caballero being here doesn't do none of that. Does that?
So look.
Someone like that would.
I think in retrospect of last season, if you go back and think about it, and Sean identified this right away. I don't know how to truly evaluate this season for Anthony Volpe because I think he was hurt really early.
Well, then look at the last three seasons. He has never developed into what they expected,
but he was clutch in the postseason.
Okay,
and it was only his third year.
But that's why I'm not fully blocking him, because the ability of Bregman to go to third base means Ryan McMahon could eventually lose playing time.
I'm not blocking him at all. I have a cheap option that we're familiar with playing shortstop.
No, but here's what the problem that you're making, in my opinion, is that you're not blocking him enough. Like, you're making it easy to go back to him. I'm making it, hey, if you earn it, there's a way for me to go back to you, but it's not as easy as IKF's in front of you.
But that costs you.
Yeah, but it is, but it doesn't, because the way I laid this out is my payroll is going to end up the same. Now, I'm not bringing Bellinger back, which you're not doing either, which right. I know a lot of Yankee fans may dislike, but I'm viewing the outfield. First of all, I'm viewing Ben Rice as the first baseman. That's where we disagree. Mm-hmm. Give Ben the first baseman's glove. He'll become good over there, at least decent over there. Give him time. He's the first baseman, end of story. Maybe I've been bringing a backup like Ty France, who could play the position well, right. But off the bench. I have enough young outfielders between Dominguez and Spencer Jones and a center fielder who's a glove first player,
right,
whether it's Bader or Grisham coming back, that I don't need Cody Bellinger. Hmm. I really don't. And I think I'm left-handed enough now. So I think that while he was a good Yankee, and I got nothing against him, I think I would serve myself better by bringing in an infielder, especially someone who could play on the left side of the infield.
Someone to challenge Volpe. That's where they come from.
And also, look at the left side of my infield right now. Ryan McMahon is a good glove, but he don't hit much, right, and he doesn't hit lefties despite the home run he hit in game four. And what's my shortstop? Caballero, Volpe, Lombard is still a year or two away. So I'm trying to even out my roster by being better on the left side of the infield, which right now is not good enough.
Okay.
All right, Sean, go ahead.
All right, I'm just going to say this. You guys went very focused on the left side of the infield. Unfortunately, you can't help some drug addicts, so I'm leaving shortstop alone and assuming that Volpe's eventually going to take that job. I just want to get that off the plate, okay? That was a terrible way to reference it, but follow up. Cody Bellinger's Mr. Yankee. They're going to flirt with Kyle Tucker. He's going to sign a 7-year, $180 million deal.
Oh.
Okay, you could all you want.
No, that's fine.
With the future flexibility, perhaps, for
somebody
space,
else.
Well, follow along here.
All right.
We're also going to retain Devin Williams after all. He's going to Nick games with Aaron Judge.
Wow.
Right. I kept Devin Williams.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So around 3 years, $54 million comes into about $18 million a year following the reliever market. I feel like for a guy who's not going to be paid to be
You're
a closer.
You're going to give Devin Williams $18 million a year?
I am.
You buried the man. Look.
Am but I allowed to finish?
But he was good.
Yeah, this off-season plan, like, I'm going to hold against you for the rest of your life.
Okay.
First of all, you've just accepted Volpe's the shortstop, that which I'm stunned by.
That one I don't get.
This is your plan, not Brian Cashman's plan, your plan. You're saying, I am rubber-stamping Volpe as my shortstop. And, oh, by the way, I'm rubber-stamping Devin Williams to be one of the highest-paid closers in baseball.
I was told that this had to be a realistic plan.
Yes, from financial standpoints. You can pick who you want, who you think is best for the team.
I, unfortunately, am so beaten down by my teams that a realistic plan does not involve not having Anthony Volpe at shortstop. Mm. So that was my interpretation.
All right.
I'm not telling you I want to. I'm just telling you what I interpreted.
That's fine.
Okay. They're going to get a right-handed option to help Ben Rice whenever he slides over to catch in DH. I'm giving 1 year, $12 million to Rhys Hoskins. I think he's going to play a little first base as a free agent. Okay?
No, that's not bad. I like that one.
Okay.
Can't play.
I'm also going to bring back reasonably Rosario. Obviously, Caballero's there. Let's fill out the bench. The Yankees are then, in turn, going to make two trades that I think fans are going to love.
Trades. Let's go.
Okay. They're going to go to Cleveland, and they're going to get their leadoff hitter in Stephen Kwan.
Oh, you like the Kwan idea.
The headline package in that deal is they're trading Luis Gil to give Cleveland some upside at the top of their rotation. Now, you might be saying, well, are the Yankees in position to be trading, starting pitching, knowing what's going on at the top? Well, they just got Stephen Kwan to lead off and play left. That brought Bellinger back. They're trading Jason Dominguez. They're trading Chase Hampton. They're trading Bryce Cunningham and Dax Kilby. Major prospects to the Florida Marlins.
This is ridiculous.
For Sandy Alcantara.
This is why I should have went before Sean. I don't even have to go now. That was my trade. I already made. Why is a Yankee fan not featured last? I should have went, and then you should have went. What does that note say?
Well, you could go.
No, I'm not going to go now.
By the way,
you're out of the Met one. You're out of the Met one.
I feel like you're killing my buzz. I feel like I just gave the Yankees
you had a great move there, but we should have compared notes.
All right, that's where I'm at. So Kwan and Alcantara in two massive deals, bring back Bellinger, bring back Williams, and plug the bench a little Rhys Hoskins right-handed option at first base.
I like his plan towards the end. The beginning of it I didn't like, but I like the idea of using Gil, because we had talked about this. The Yankees have pitching depth despite the injuries to start the season.
Yeah.
And Luis Gil is a guy that you can use as a trade chip. And using him as the headline in the package, because I think it's going to cost more than Gil to get Kwan, just to be fair. So I think
insert other guys.
I interpreted it that way. It's Gil as the headliner in a deal for Kwan. And then, boy, you came flying for Alcantara.
Well, that's you got to load up.
That's a huge return back.
You got to load up.
I give you credit. That's like Met fans killing me for my Tarek Skubal deal. Like, it's too much. That's a lot. But, hey, you came to the party with a lot. So you end up with Cody back, Alcantara in the rotation, Gil gone, Kwan in left field, and Bellinger back.
Yeah. And so then the idea
is you're retaining your infield, which is going to be McMahon, Volpe, Chisholm.
And you might be asking, well, sure, what does that mean for Spencer Jones? What my assumption is we're going to play another year out here where Giancarlo end up on the IL,
right.
Judge. You know, there will be a moment where Spencer Jones gets called up and where the chips lie where they may. Maybe it ends up where Ben Rice catches more, Austin right. Wells sits more, and you move Bellinger to first. Like, yeah. all of that is
ben
in
Rice
play.
Ben Rice can float around, catcher,
exactly.
first base, DH.
There catcher. Will be at-bats down the line at some point through injuries for Spencer Jones, and then you re-examine after the year where you want to
I
go
like
from there.
It. I think that's a good plan. All right, Tommy, I know you're all depressed and all, but you can still make your plan, even though you copied Sean.
Yeah, but I had this whole dramatic thing planned out.
Well, so. Just do it then. You don't need to be dramatic.
Well, we're doing radio here. I thought it'd be fun. Kyle Tucker. That's the crown jewel. That's the big splash. That's my big free agent signing if I'm Brian Cashman. But where will Kyle Tucker play? I don't know. Stay tuned.
Is that going to be a dramatic?
Okay.
Okay. I am going to... The Yankees have made a trade. Break the glass. They are sending Jason Dominguez, Austin Wells... and Luis Gil for Freddy Peralta.
Oh, so but that's it was not Sandy Alcantara.
No, it was on my list, but I don't want to have the same thing as him. So I wanted.
So you just pivoted to Freddy Peralta?
Of course, because why? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's said Alcantara, but now it's going to be Freddy Peralta.
By the way, Tommy, you can keep it as Alcantara. I said Bregman, and Tiki didn't
different,
need to pivot. He
different.
Was just like, I'm doing Bregman
no,
too.
No, because that was going to be my big reveal. Like, free agencies, everybody knows the free agents. The trade was the big reveal.
All right, so we're going to keep it as Alcantara. Okay. I don't think you should change it.
All
there's
right,
no
fine,
reason
right.
to.
Dominguez,
plus
Wells.
You really overpaid for Freddy Peralta. He's a free agent at the end of the year. But go ahead.
No. So Dominguez, Wells, and Heal.
He's only making
for,
$8 million this year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so Dominguez, Wells, Heal for Sandy Alcantara. I agree with Tiki and Sean. You don't give up a near decades-long beard policy for one guy for a one-night stand. So you re-sign Devin Williams. Ben Rice is my catcher. Tucker is my first baseman. Spencer Jones is my left fielder, and me and Evan are sharing a brain. I went with Ramon Laureano at center field, but I just think the Yankees need guys with some stones. Bader's a good option, too, but they just need those, like, pit bull guys. So Laureano's my center fielder. That's my offseason.
It's funny that of all four of us, only one of us said Kyle Tucker, because he was the guy that for a year out, we were like...
You don't know how much that's going to cost you.
It's going to cost a lot.
That's the challenge, and you said be realistic. It could cost you your whole budget.
Yeah, here's
not
the
quite, but you know what I mean.
The issue with Kyle Tucker is A, staying healthy, but B, and he kind of touched on this, he's a right fielder. And I would not move him to first base. I disagree with that. He's a gold glove caliber right fielder. So who are you moving to first base? Is it Aaron Judge? Are you moving one of them to left field? Judge can certainly play left field, but they're really both right fielders when you think about it.
In my plan, Tucker's the first baseman now, and he will flip-flop with Judge in a year or two.
Yeah. No, I got you. I don't love that because I think he's a gold glove caliber player, and you'd be losing a part of his value by not having him there. But the other thing about Kyle Tucker is he had such a weird year this year. You wonder, like, do you want to give him $400 million? That's probably what it's going to take.
Yeah.
But I think the outfield question is this.
I avoided those massive contracts.
Because it's massive.
Yeah.
He's going to get a massive contract. He really is. It's not going to be Soto, but it's going to be very high. He played left field early in his career, so you could simply say, all right, you're the left fielder. But that opens up center field to whom? Like, you guys both traded Jason Dominguez, so I guess that makes it easy. But Jason Dominguez as a center fielder?
Right.
Spencer Jones is a center fielder.
I didn't trade Dominguez.
No, I know you didn't. And I thought about doing it in a deal for Kwan, but it makes sense in the trades you talked about.
Look, soon he's going to be playing third base, as we saw in the warm-up to the divisional round.
Yeah, we did see that. And also, A-Rod's documentary starts tonight, which I got to tell you, I'm interested in. They're not paying me to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Rodriguez hasn't told me to say that. I'm just genuinely very fascinated by, I think it's called A-Rod versus Alex.
Yeah. I was shocked. So I am into it. Big Mac, not into it.
Really?
Yeah, if it's a Yankee fan, he's like, it looks lame. I think it's going to be great. I think HBO does a great job with these.
Now, look, there's a chance I'm going to watch it and say this is fraudulent. I have no interest. But I want to at least give it a try. So in the midst of this, A-Rod's gone on a media tour. And I want to thank the guy at USA Today. Because the guy at USA Today not only cited WFAN, but asked Alex Rodriguez a question. The one question I'm curious about right now in regards to the modern-day New York Yankees, which is, hey, Brian Cashman called you out. And if you guys remember, A-Rod and Jeter were very critical of Cashman and the New York Yankees after they got eliminated. When Brian joined us, we asked Brian, hey, what'd you think about what A-Rod said about your roster construction, that you are the puppeteer and Aaron Boone doesn't make any decisions? And Brian was very forceful in saying they don't know what the hell they're talking about and said specifically that he called Derek Jeter and then took a little shot at A-Rod by saying A-Rod's got his one title. So here is the question.
Wow.
And Alex's answer to Brian Cashman's criticisms from what he said with us just a few weeks ago.
I heard Brian Cashman here on WFAN in New York said that he reached out to Derek after Derek's comments, which Derek did preface that he had no insider info, but he was, of course, talking about the relationship between the front office and the coaching staff. For you, have you heard from Brian or from anyone else in the Yankees front office?
No, not at all. Look, I have a job to do, Rafi, right? And my job is to tell exactly the audience on what I feel. And I don't think knowing all the information is really relevant in this case, because the truth is we haven't won a title in 16 years and we haven't been really close. I mean, if you call last year close, it was, you know, the Dodgers pretty much, you know, had their way with us. But no one cheers harder for the Yankees than I do. I want them to win. I want them to win badly. And I'm basically expressing what I hear from fans all around the world, the Yankee fans, the frustration, the anger. And yeah, I stand behind my comments.
We and us, very notable. After Brian Cashman basically, you know, knocked them for having one ring, A-Rod says we and us, very profound.
Alex took a very interesting approach. Because that answer was, it doesn't matter that I don't know anything. It was basically what he said. He said, look, I'm a populist. This is what Yankee fans are saying.
Right.
So I am representing what Yankee fans are saying, which, by the way, that part's true.
Sure.
Like Alex Rodriguez, if that's what he's doing on TV, he did it perfectly. He said, I am representing the Yankee fan and the guy that calls WFAN. It doesn't matter if I know what's actually happening.
And he also
this
said,
is what they're thinking.
And he said it in a way where that's what he thinks is happening.
Correct.
Which I think you're allowed to think that if you're an Alex Rodriguez. Now, that's on Brian Cashman to call him back, and clearly he didn't, but good for Alex standing up.
Yeah, they don't like each other. I think that's very, very clear.
That's why I think the we and us stuff was interesting. We know that Alex loves waving the Yankee flag, but that's another
way. No one cheers harder for the Yankees than I do.
That's another way of telling Brian Cashman, you could try to push me out all you want. I'm a Yankee.
Yeah, we, us.
Yeah,
we,
exactly.
We, us. Yeah, it was interesting. It was an interesting response.
The Dodgers had their way with us.
Well, he was, it's such a, like, there's a psychiatrist could really analyze this answer.
Yeah.
There's so much there. One of the layers is, I'm a Yankee fan, it's us, it's we, but I'm going to shove it to you, Cash, for the fact that we've won nothing since I left. Because that's essentially what he said.
He pointed out the 16 years when Brian Cashman wanted to point out only the one ring.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is a weird, psychological, verbal, we don't speak to each other, but through the media and questions war going on between Brian Cashman and A-Rod.
We haven't won a title in 16 years, and we haven't been really close.
I mean, really close they were.
He thought he would win one championship, and, you know, Derek has a lot more than that.
Think about that. Well done, Connor. Like, that is, that's a verbal war going on right there. I don't know if we have the audio of this, and I'm not even sure where it would be. But do you remember years ago, Brian Cashman said, quote, tell A-Rod to shut the bleep up? Do you guys remember that
did
one?
Did he actually?
It was while he was still on the team.
I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember the shut the bleep up moment?
Man, there was so much that happened there towards the end. I think a lot has gotten lost.
Yeah, can you find that somewhere, Tommy? Google it where that was. Because I actually, it's just, it's a memory, but I don't have a specific moment attached to it. I don't even know if there's audio attached to it, but if God forbid there is. That's the newest drop. Cashman. A-Rod, shut the bleep up.
Just a hunch.
Yeah.
As long as Brian Cashman is walking this earth, Alex Rodriguez is never getting his number retired.
Oh, you think?
Just a hunch.
Is that a hunch of yours?
It's my educated belief.
You think Cashman's watching the documentary tonight?
Yes. He hate watches, no doubt.
It's a hate watch situation.
I think it's a hate watch spot.
You know, my wife doesn't like A-Rod, and it's a very understandable reason.
Right.
And I do not have any dislike towards Alex because of what I'm about to say. I just wanted to make that clear. Many years ago, when I first started doing middays with Joe Beningo, I think Gio was with me, so you could ask Greg about this. We went into the Yankees locker room down in Baltimore. And I was like, oh, good, let me talk to some people. You know, I'm going to talk to some Yankees. And so Sweeney Murdy, Michael Kay, and I think Gio was with me. Yeah, because we did that trip together, right?
Right. Did you break the ice cream machine?
No, and there was no ice cream machine breaking. But Sweeney and Kay both encouraged me, you should talk to A-Rod. Like, you should go up there. And I'm like, all right, you know what I am? I'm going to introduce myself. He knows Mike and the Mad Dog. I do the show preceding Mike and the Mad Dog. This is an easy introduction.
Sure.
Hey, I'm the guy on before Mike and the Mad Dog with Joe Beningo. Like, great introduction. So I go over to Alex, and he just completely blew me off.
Aww.
He pantsed me.
Aww.
And it was embarrassing. And I turned around and there's Kay and Sweeney and even G. I think they're all laughing. Like, ah, we got you. We got that schmuck. He went over there. And so I swear to God, never took it personal. Never even cared about that. Like, I never felt any differently about A-Rod. It was more funny to me. Like, I'm the loser who got, you know, punked by A-Rod. He didn't want to talk to this dweeb. No biggie.
No biggie.
When I told my wife the story upon, like, our fifth date, she had that look in her eye and said, he did that? I said, yeah. So anytime Alex has ever come on our show, and he's been a great guy, like very nice guy since, my wife says, oh, Alex was on? Freaking
Alex hates him.
Because of a story I told her from 2008.
You know what, though? But that's great. She's a real one.
No, she's a real one.
She's in your corner that early and doesn't let a grudge go. That's a real wife.
She's a, and so I said to her, I know you hate him. Do you want to watch the documentary? And she's like, you know what? I'm going to watch this about this fraud. Yeah, I'll watch it. So my wife is like excited to watch it.
Hate watch.
Because that's why I brought it up.
It's a hate watch.
It's a Cashman hate watch. But I think there's a chance because there's something really fascinating about Alex Rodriguez. There really is. I think you can walk away maybe liking him or looking at him differently.
Oh, for sure. He's got a lot of politician in him.
He's got a lot of politician in him. And I think what I'm drawn in by with Alex, and I ask for this from people, is to just show your vulnerability. You can show that, hey, I made mistakes, and here's how I made them. And it appears like he is owning a lot of the stupid mistakes he made. You know, obviously around steroids and the Rob Manfred stuff, or the Bud Selig. So who's he mad at? Manfred or Selig? I can't remember. The man from Milwaukee. Oh, Bud Selig.
Bud Selig. Yeah. Now I'm even like replaying in my head.
And I think that there is something human about someone who can admit their mistakes. Like, the thing that's keeping us from really loving Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens is honesty.
That's why we forgave Pettit.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. No, we are not perfect. None of us are perfect humans. We're all incredibly damaged and flawed.
Oh, God.
And so when someone admits it and shows it to you, it's very tough to hate them. Now, the skepticism that one may have is this is all an act.
Right. Is it genuine?
Is it genuine? Now, that's for us to decide, but I do find that interesting.
I'm into it. I can't. Three-parter?
It's a three-parter. It starts tonight at 9 o'clock. There is football on, so that's a little concerning. But you can also start it whenever you want.
Yeah, I would also say that's an easy Friday night watch going forward the next 3 weeks.
No question.
Ballface truth, ballface lie. Pete Alonso will get at least one MVP vote for this 2025 season.
Ballface lie. Come on, dude. Pete had a good year. He can't be... Now, I don't know how the voting works exactly. I know I saw the finalists, Otani, Schwarber, and Soto in there for the finalists for MVP. I don't think Alonso's getting a vote. I don't think he deserves a vote for MVP. Although I will say that you can make an argument he was the most valuable player on the Mets over Soto, even though Soto's numbers are gaudy to the point where he is a finalist. I think when you win 83 games, there's nothing valuable about anybody. I could get rid of all those guys and still find a way to win 83 games next year. So I'm going to say bald face lie. Pete does not get a vote.
I'm going to play the technical route here because I have the same question that you did. If I was going first here, I probably would say the same thing, but I went second. So, you know, I mean, these guys, I'm looking at the votes from last year, Sal. You had, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I mean, you had in each league, you had basically 20 guys getting votes. I mean, Tovar and the Rockies got a vote last year. So I'll take, yeah, I know. Like a 10th place vote,
so
whatever
probably
it was.
Get a vote, right?
So I'll, again, that's the easy way. You know, I think maybe a little bit more of an interesting conversation. Should he get more than Soto? He won't. You could probably have that on some level, but he'll get a vote. That's the easy way out. Bullface truth, but he should be nowhere near the award, as we know.
Very nice. Yeah. All right. And finally, this is, I think, the question of the day.
Okay.
Okay. Ballface lie, ballface truth, BT. Aaron Boone has the safest seat of all head coaches, managers in New York sports. Mm.
Okay, let's go through this here. All the managers, I think he's safer than Mendy at this point.
I think this is a fun question. You're right, Hoff. Great question.
Mendy gets off to a rough start. He could be gone. We talk about the Giants every single day. That's a problem. Aaron Glenn, I think he's fine, but you keep doing battle, and if you don't win anymore. The Rangers situation. Okay. I would say that's a bold-faced truth. I mean, even Mike Brown with the expectations, you better at least get to the finals. Yeah, I think that's fair. Bold-faced truth.
I'm going to say it's a bold-faced lie. I think Sullivan, I think you touched on it with the Rangers. Now, who knows with the Devils, Islanders, You want to throw those guys in there as well? I'm not so sure, but Sullivan.
Jordy Martinez with the Nets.
Come on. The Nets. What are they, 0-7 now?
I saw Evan. I think it was Evan tweeted something about Jordy. I was like, who the hell is Jordy?
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy. The great Jet. Come on.
Jordy.
The Nets. God. Woof. Sullivan just got here. I did see Evan tweet something interesting about the Nets, saying that he wants Ja Morant, basically. Ja's an unhappy.
I got suspended. I saw that. I got suspended by the game.
He's got major issues. He's the guy I wanted over Zion years ago. I wanted the Knicks to get him. They end up with R.J. Barrett. They'll get Ja or Zion, end up with R.J. Barrett. And by the way, that might have been the most solid choice when you think about it. Ja with all his issues. Zion with his issues.
Yeah, Zion's in good shape this year. Yeah. Ja. I saw R.J. I still checked the box score, see what Barrett and Quickly are doing. Barrett's averaging like 20-something points a game. He's playing pretty well.
I think Sullivan's got to be the safest. He just got here. Drury loves him. He's got great history and pedigree. But because of the newness, I would say him, Dable, no, Glenn, no, Brown, no, Mendy, certainly not. Mendy might be on the hottest seat of all. Well, outside of Dable. Dable, obviously, he's not going to be the coach any longer, you wouldn't think. I think Boone's relatively safe.
So do I.
But I don't know if I would say he's safer than Sullivan or maybe any of the hockey coaches.
You're a big hockey guy. Any opinion on that, Huff?
If Sullivan continued to lose the way they were doing, I think he'd be out by the...
Get the hell out of here. They're not going to fire Sullivan.
Bro, hockey coaches, we know every 2 years.
They just
brought him in. Yeah, but like he's already been here for like a quarter of his career, technically.
I have one bonus question today. Bold-faced truth.
No.
Bold-faced truth. Bold-faced lie. Can anybody on this show name the current New Jersey Devils head coach?
No. Oh, yeah. O'Keefe?
Sheldon Keefe.
That's right,
I can name the play-by-play guy. Can't name the head coach. Patrick Waugh for the Islanders, I know that.
Yeah, Patty Waugh, sure.
I would not be able to name the...
I nailed it!
Who is it?
Sheldon Keefe.
Okay, woo! Good job. Sheldon Keefe. I would have bet the under, probably.
He got hired.
I stumbled his way there, but he got it.
He got hired May 23rd of 2024.
He's doing a good job, too.
We'll go check out the Devils at the end of the month, I think.
They're good.
But anyway, yeah, there you have it. All right, bold-faced truth, bold-faced lie. All
right, now to the Islanders.
No, we did. Waugh, Patrick Waugh.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Come on, dude.
You know that.
What are you, headphones? I forgot I know that. We said that three times.
I still have a cold.
BT, oh, you're right. We should just be thankful that you showed up to work. BT and
no
Sal.
BT No cage work with Mendy? No soft toss?
888-808-1019. We'll take a break. We got to get to the Knicks next hour. We also have Brian Baldinger coming up. Let's do the Knicks at 12:20. We'll reset with the Giants. Do Giants at 12. We'll do the Knicks at 12:20. Brian Baldinger, he'll give his insight coming up at 12:40. Jam-packed show. Maybe do a little free agency 1 o'clock or a combination of a bunch of different things. But still plenty of time to work with here. We'll take a quick break. Back to reset on the other side.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.